Hello and welcome to the Karma Recaps for episode 3. So much happened that we have to get into, but before we do that, we have a special guest. So we saw him in the first couple of episodes. We have the winner of the Right to Stay competition. And somebody that I was so excited to see what they were going to do. So I would love to talk with this person about their journey in karma and what that's meant for them. Here we have Harrison.
Hello.
Hey, Harrison.
You can hear me, right?
Sure
can.
Yes.
All right, sweet. Yes.
And with me, I have Lily from season 5 of Endurance High Sierras and also worked on Karma.
Yeah. Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us, Harrison. It's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you too.
Yeah, you seem you know, a lot can happen in a year. You seem older. Your voice is lower already. Hope that doesn't affect your singing.
No, it's good.
Good.
That's awesome. So let's go all the way back to before Karma started. How did you find Karma and what was your journey like into getting onto the show?
Well, basically my mom had this like kind of backstage website where she would look for like movies or TV shows that had auditions ready. And there was like, there's this reality show called Karma. It's kind of like that show Survivor or Endurance, like that I could see that you've seen or been on. But, she was like, I was like, dang, that sounds fun. You know, like, why not? Let's just go for it. And so we went for it. And then just later on, it just led up to me getting in. And we were like, what? It was crazy.
What was your first impression of being there? You know, what was it like? You did the big hike. And then all of a sudden you see the cabins, which are not even really cabins. They're basically tents. What were your thoughts on that?
I was like, because I was watching like Endurance and stuff that had all these like cool, like freaking tree houses or something. I came there. I was like, oh, it's going to be kind of rough. I was like, I'm going to have to get used to this.
Yeah. And I know that you mentioned in the first episode that you had gone into homeschooling. How long had you been homeschooled before transitioning back to being, you know, out in the wilderness with a group of other people the same age as you?
I've been homeschooled for like 2 years now. We got into it ever since like I started getting bullied back like a while ago. But can you repeat the question? My bad.
Well, you answered it. Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. It was 2 years. So now you're on this hike, and what was going through your mind as you're all trekking this hike all the way over to the cabins?
I thought it was fun because, like, I don't know. It was just really like all wild and stuff. We got to like hang out. We got to kind of get used to each other, like talk a little bit. But then everyone was like, I was like, don't get to know each other yet. Don't get to know each other fully yet. And I was like, all right. It was really hard for us not to like talk or anything, but it was really fun.
Yeah. You guys were dying to talk to each other because you hadn't been able to talk on the bus right up there.
Yeah. We couldn't talk for like a couple hours.
Yeah.
We were like, oh, we finally got to talk. It was so good.
So then you get to camp and, you know, it's pretty rustic, I guess. Mm-hmm. And the next day is the Right to Stay challenge. Tell us about your Right to Stay challenge, because you really, I mean, you were out there flossing, like.
Dominated.
I remember telling all of them, like, after we went back to the cabins, they were like, yeah, we saw you flossing on us, Harrison. I was like, I was flossing for you guys, all right? Understand, I was flossing because of victory, you know? Like, for everyone else. But the Right to Stay challenge, that was fun because I'm a huge swimmer. That's like one of my biggest hobbies. You know, I love swimming. Swimming is like a big part of my life. So I was like, first challenge of swimming, I'm good, bro. I'm good. I'm staying. I'm chilling. And so I was like, I was trying to figure out like what to do because once you get to the pedestal, or like not the pedestal, but the area you're standing on before you actually go and do the challenge, you're like,
right.
In your mind, you're like, what do I do? Like, how do I do this? How do I do this without falling?
Well, you really made it look easy. I have to say, I was very surprised.
I thought it was going to be a lot harder though.
Yeah. And I did see one of the test blocks, like one of the rehearsals mm-hmm. when some of the crew members were doing it, and you blew through it. They were having trouble and there weren't even like 8 people on there.
I was trying to kind of like, once I got to it, I was trying to like observe like, all right, how do I do this without like falling or messing up fully? But like after like a couple minutes, I was like, all right, it's kind of simple after a little bit.
Well, congrats on that.
Thank you.
So now you are an official Karma player. And who were you close to prior to the partner selection? Anybody that you vibed well with?
I vibed well with Aaron. Me and him were like cool. I remember like before we even like went on the bus, like I was like, I felt a good vibe with Aaron. I was like something about this guy. I feel a connection, dude. I was like, we're gonna work well. And it turns out we did. We actually became like pretty good friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
And when you watched the partner challenge, you know, the one where Mac and Elijah were up on this door frame, what were your thoughts on that? I mean, I know that later on you made it clear that you wanted Ilya as your partner. What was it that made you want her?
well, okay. So I was like, I was messing with my mind a little bit. I was thinking, I was like, I saw Ilya. She had a good mindset, you know? She, like, I could tell she was, like, prepared mentally, other than me, like, you know? But, like, I was like, I could work well with her. But, and then again, I was in my mind, I was like, I know Elijah is not going to give me the partner I want. If I won the first challenge, he's not going to give me what I want. He wants me out of the game. That's simple. Mm. It's simple, dude. So I was like, I like Ilya, you know? She's a good partner. But I don't want her. And I just know that sounds mean, but I didn't want Ilya. But then again, if I did get her, it wouldn't have been bad. So it was like a 50-50 partner. So I picked the person that I half wanted. So if I didn't get her, I would have got anyone else. And I was fine with anyone else.
Oh, so okay.
You're saying that you strategically told Mac somebody that you sort of wanted and sort of didn't want?
Mm-hmm. I slightly wanted her. You know, I was like 50-50 about it. I was like, so
you wanted her.
And I was
like, when you didn't get her, your face kind of dropped a little bit. So it seemed like you really wanted her. Like, didn't you?
I did want her. I like it was kind of 50-50 because I thought in my mind I did want her, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was like, if I picked the person that like, if I didn't get her, then it wouldn't have been a big deal. You know,
so like number but two or three on your list.
Yeah, kind of. So I was like, I was thinking in my mind, like what she would be good at and like pros and cons, basically. Mm-hmm. And I thought of a lot of the others and I like observed everyone the whole time. I was like really quiet during the show, you know, I was just observing, seeing what everything like how everything's going. And so I was like, Ilya is like very strong minded. When she was on the I forget what it was, but like it like tilted challenge. You down. It was like the second challenge, right?
Yeah.
The team challenge. But she was on there and she was crying, dude. But she stayed up there. I was like, you gotta have some balls to do that. I'm sorry, but you do. That's tough.
She pushed through.
She pushed through that. She stayed on there, dude. That was like, I was like, confidence. I was like, how?
Yeah. Well, now I'm curious. Who would have been your number one pick as a partner that you really would have wanted?
I forget. I have it all in my book, but I think it was what is it? All of the girls had like the same name. Skyly.
Do you want me to give you names?
Skyly. I think it was Skyly, but then Mac took Skyly.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Because I wanted to have somebody to like a small partner almost, you know what I mean? That's another reason why I picked Ilya, because I wanted a small partner just in case we had any challenges where you like had to hold him or something. So I wanted to be able to be like, all right, we could work well with this, like small and strong or small and smart, either one.
So at this point in the game, when you guys are, it was, I believe, yeah, it was the night of day three when you had just gotten partnered up. And so where was your head at that point? You know, 3 days is a pretty long time, especially for people who, you know, always have had been able to at least communicate by phone with their family and stuff. Like, where was your head at that point?
Well, I had my like songbook with me, right? But I wasn't just using with songs. So I wrote down like a whole paragraph on each one, like pros and cons about the place. And so I was in my mindset, I was like, is this really what I wanted? Or is this really what I thought it would be? But like, I don't want to give up. I want to push through this. I want to prove myself, you know. But like, my mind was everywhere at the time. So I was trying to think, and I my mind wasn't in a good place. So I just went with it. I just went with certain things.
What were you expecting, and what was different about it?
Well, I remember when we were on the bus ride, we took a break, and we like stopped at this big lake, and there was like a bunch of houses or something. I was like, is this where we're staying? Cause like, I thought that place was dope. I thought that place was cool. So for a second, I thought that's where we were staying when we were. And I was like, freak, I like that place. It looked cool. But, after I realized it was like a deserty place, I was like, God, I need to practice like my environment, like my mindset, like to be alone or something. I should have thought this through, but like, I just said, go for it. Let's go. Let's do it. You know, I never thought of the consequences.
It's hard to picture yourself, you know,
yeah,
doing that till you really do it. No one can understand unless they've done it, you know?
Oh, absolutely. When, did they go over what would happen to Skyla, once you had left?
Yes. But Skyla told, or she didn't tell me, but I was like, we can make it where, like, we could go off and Skyla would go with you. And I was like, and they were like, you make it look simple as if you've lost the challenge. I was like, I can't do that. I was like, I gotta show the world that I messed up, you know? And so I was like, I gotta give her a chance. And I that was such a pathetic thing for me to do, is to leave her behind. That was the biggest regret that I did there. I was like, I felt so bad, and I didn't think that through enough. That's like one of the biggest regrets I've ever had. And I felt like really, really, really bad. And I just felt so much guilt. And if I could go back, I wouldn't have done it. I would have stuck it through for her and for my family, for me. But I wasn't in the right for doing that.
Well, it's hard to, you know, when you're internally struggling, to think of anything besides that. You know what I mean? I don't blame you for it. But of course, looking back, it's hard to watch somebody else struggle because of your decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
And you and Skyla both together chose the inspiration when you chose the color purple. Was there any moment that you can draw inspiration from your journey, or any advice or anything that you could say to others that might be interested in karma to inspire them as well?
Well, one of the reasons I picked inspiration, I know Skyla did it because of her dad, right? And it was like my family. I just wanted to do it, like to show them that I could do something like big in the world, you know? And I was like, I could make it out there on my own. And so I was like, what was it? I was inspired by a lot of the people at Karma, like a lot of the kids, even though they didn't feel the way I felt, like it's still then again inspired me. I was like, they've made it through like a big part of their life to be on their own. I was like, just for me, that's hard. And so I was just confused. But I was like really inspired by them as well. But my family inspired me because they've done so much. They got me there. They brought me to here. They didn't. I barely did anything to come. you know, they built me from the ground up.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to head into the spoiler territory. So future Aaron is going to come in here, pop in, tell you where to skip to if you have not watched all of this season yet. But if you have watched the whole season, then just keep watching and we will be right back after future Aaron pops in. And we are back. So after you left, we have Jack coming back in to replace you. And then, you know, Skyla and he go on to win. What was it like seeing that whole journey happen?
I remember me and my mom were like, dude, imagine they won. Imagine that they won. If they won, that would be so insane. I thought, for a second in my mind, there was like a 2% chance in my mind, or I don't think that's how I worded it right, but I was like, imagine Jack like came back to the show. That would have been sick. I was like, there's a chance, but I'm just whatever. But then Jack came on the show and she was with Skyla. I was like, is Skyla gonna like Jack on her team? Because everyone like nobody liked Jack at first. I liked Jack. I love Jack. I thought Jack was a snazzy dude, you know? But, like, he just, like, screwed himself that first freaking day, yeah. Dude.
Yeah. So did you find this out, like, in real time or not from watching the show, right? Like, you knew that whenever you left, you didn't know it right when you were leaving that he was going to come back, but, you know, the next few days, is that when you found out?
The next few days, yeah, my mom was like, you're not gonna believe this. And I was like, what? What's going on? Like, what? She was like, Jack got back on the show. I was like, I knew it, dude. I told you Jack was coming back, dude. And so that was like I was like, content, mom. Content.
Yeah, that's wild.
Wow.
That was really wild.
What do you think would have happened had you stayed and you and Skyla just continued on as the purple team? Do you think that you would have been in a prime position to win a lot of those challenges or be an early target because of, you know, how good you and Skyla both were?
Yes. Okay. I don't want to sound cocky when I say this, but we would have freaking won, dude. We would have won. I'm not even lying. I'm dumb for doing that. We would have won, dude.
Oh, man. Is it tough to look back at?
Yes.
When you watch episode two?
Yes. I was watching myself like cry the whole time. I was like, shut up, dude. Come on. I was like, if I could go meet myself in the future, I would like give myself a big slap and man up. Like, come on.
What was your relation with the other teams prior to leaving? Did you feel good, in a good position with all of them? Did they all seem to want to keep you and Skyla around?
Yeah, well, I made sure we didn't actually say anything that would be aggressive or make them think that we didn't want them on our side. So we kind of wanted to alliance. We kind of wanted to trick everyone that we were in, or I did. I wanted to tell everyone that, like, yeah, alliance. But, like, the show, we're still going to be friends, but, you know, betrayal and da da da. But.
So you wanted to cover all spaces?
Yes.
So what are your final thoughts looking back on the experience, having seen Jack win the game? Of course, you say now that you do regret leaving. Mm-hmm. But, you know, are you happy for Purple Team? Like, what are your final thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I was super proud when Jack pulled out in the end. I was like, dude, he said he was going to win that 50,000. He said it and he did it. I was like, he was right. And so, I don't know, man. I was really impressed.
Knowing what you know now, would you ever do something like Karma again if presented with the opportunity to?
If I were trained mentally, like I've said like 300 times already, but like I kind of want to go out and test and like go out there on my own, nobody with me for like a month or a couple weeks. And then I was like, yes, I want to go back on the karma, you know, like show the world I could do it again, like show the world I could push through. And it would just be a big like accomplishment for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I also want to say that you weren't the only one out there who was homesick. Like a lot of the other kids were. And of course, like it's not necessarily always relevant to the storyline to put those in there. But like a lot of the kids were very, very homesick, too. You weren't the only one. So what is your advice for any future karma players or somebody who's going through something like that, like that you went through? What would be your advice to them when they're feeling homesick?
It's tough, dude. It's really tough because I dealt with, I don't know if anyone knew, but I dealt with the stomach ulcer for 2 years, if anyone knows what that is. But ooh. I was with that for 2 years straight, and that sucked. And that's kind of like a nervous system kind of thing, right? But it sucks. So you have to have like a good mental state, you know? Like if you love your family, if like you love everyone, then it's going to be like two times harder. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but you got to stick through it, man. And I know I left and you're like, but you left. Da, da, da. But I was completely wrong for doing that. I was really dumb. And it's not right. And you're going to regret it in the long run. Despite how hard it is, you need to stick through.
Good advice.
I love that advice.
And another thing was, another reason I left was I didn't feel like I deserved it enough, you know? I felt like I didn't do enough to get here. Like, I wanted to do was feel like proud of myself, you know? Cause I don't feel like I've done enough to make it here. I don't feel I've done enough. So? Huh?
Why didn't you think so?
I don't know. It felt easy at first. Like, I don't know if that sounds cocky or not, but it just felt like I just slid right through and I didn't do enough. And I felt like somebody else deserves my spot. But then again, that's no reason to leave and put somebody else in that place. But like, that was just like another little thing hanging up in my mind.
Right. Yeah. Cause taking a look at those challenges, I know that you said that you love swimming and swimming was a huge part of the right to stay, but we didn't really see too much swimming maybe until what, final five I don't even know what this is called with the two partners at a jump at the same time with the,
Yeah, I wish I would have stuck through, man. It sucks. I feel bad.
Well, you have a lot that you should be proud of, Harrison. I mean, making Absolutely. It on the show with 14,000 applicants, that that says something about you. You got a great personality, and there's just a lot of interesting things about you, and very physically strong, too, and you killed the first challenge, Harrison.
So
and it's tough. It was the fourth day. That's a lot of time to be missing home. So yeah. I just want you to know that I'm still proud of you, and that you should be proud of yourself too. And of course, you're only 14, and you can do a lot of reflecting in 1 year. So, but yeah, I'm glad that you're happy with how it turned out for Jack and Skyla too.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Also, I wanted to thank JD for like protecting me through all of the crybaby bits.
Yeah.
You know, he really kept me safe there, and I'm really happy that he did that.
That's good to hear. We'll have to let him know.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so much, Harrison, for coming out and joining us here. And
for sure.
It was so great seeing you on Karma. I hope to see you. I know we will see you somewhere in some way, shape, or form. You have so much going for you, and I think you're definitely going to go places. So I'm glad that this experience had a great impact on you. And I think, you know, in tie with your law of karma, I think you will inspire other people to, you know, keep pushing through, you know, even when they think, you know, it's the end of the road, just to keep pushing through. And I think how you've handled your journey afterwards, that's the important part. And I think that's something that everybody can take away from this.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Harrison, where can we follow you? I know that you're a singer. Do you have a YouTube? Like, where can we follow you?
Everything is at Harrison Hillwood. On YouTube, Instagram. I don't have a Twitter yet, though, but I will make one. There you go. Yep, that's it. Boom. Boom. That's it. Give me your criticism, people. I want to hear it. I hope you get none.
Yeah. Don't come for Harrison. Harrison did great.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Any final words for us here?
Stay safe, because of this COVID stuff.
Yeah.
Stay inside, because it's getting a little worse. And I don't even know what's happening in 2020 right now, dude. It's like,
that's crazy. Yeah.
It's just that. That's what it is. I don't know how else to explain this year, but yeah, stay safe and may the odds be ever in your favor.
Yes, thank you, Harrison.
Yes, may they be.
Thanks for joining us and letting us hear your thoughts. It's been good to talk to you.
It's been good to talk to you too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lily.
No problem.
Nice meeting you too, Aaron.
Thank you so much, Harrison. Nice meeting you as well.
Take care.
All right. See ya.
See ya, Harrison. Oh wow, Harrison.
Yeah, what'd you
think?
That
was awesome. I love Harrison. I love Harrison a lot. And I think that's something that I'm taking away from this, is I feel like every player, no matter where they placed, I feel like has taken something big away from this. And that's really
for sure
the beauty of karma and things that we appreciate here. Mm-hmm. So now we are about to go into our recap of episode 3. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break and go over to our sponsors. And after that, we will be right back. So, you know what goes around comes around. So we'll be going, but we'll be coming back soon. Mm-hmm. All right. Here's our sponsors. And we're back. So those of you who are watching the video may notice that we have somebody who has joined us here. We have Keaton from Endurance 2 and also was a Survivor Dream Teamer. How are you, Keaton?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah. Such a pleasure to have you here, and especially for an episode such as this, because what an episode this was. I know in Endurance that we've seen some dramatic log talks. I'm thinking Final Four of Tehachapi, Final Four of High Sierras. But I don't think anything could hold a candle to what happened in this episode. And I've never seen strategy break out in such a chaotic way like that. So
yeah.
I'm excited to have the both of you here, and later Monroe will be joining us to help break this down.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this was the episode, the infamous, you know, moment when Michelle walks in and everybody's so chaotic. I thought that was a great moment, and we'll get to it at some point, but let's start from the beginning.
Yeah, and this was alluded to from our interview with JD and Michelle for that day of just all of the stuff that went into that. And you were also the story producer for this episode, correct?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. How does one tackle something like this? Was there anything that was left on the cutting? I'm sure there was, but anything left on the cutting room floor that might add some more context and clarity to what happened here?
I mean, I feel like not necessarily for this exact storyline. I mean, there was so much drama that happened in episode 3. My initial string out, we call it, like my first cut was like of the first scene before the challenge was like 20 minutes. or like 30 minutes or something like that. And it's like, usually it's supposed to be 10 minutes before.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I was like, so much happens. And I actually went to the co-EP and like kind of talked through it with her. And she was like, let's streamline. You know, we have this point where Huck and Adrian and Eli test Luke's trust. And let's just go through that as streamlined as we can. And so it made it more easy to follow.
Can I ask you a question about this, Lily? Because obviously we don't know how the camp is really set up. It seems like it's a pretty open space. So it's very hard to kind of find nooks and crannies to sit in to like somewhat like secretly talk. Mm-hmm. But like, was Luke just that kind of naive to go immediately as soon as he gets his information and walk to where... Like, wasn't that simple that Luke just was like, okay, got this information, gonna go tell, like it wasn't that directly. Simple? Or, okay.
No, it wasn't. Like, it was probably 5 or 10 minutes, probably 10 minutes in between. But then as soon as he walks up to Justin, I mean, the three boys, yellow, gray, and orange, are together at that point, and they're like, oh, he's Owen already. Oh my God.
I mean, and being that age, like, yeah.
That's not much.
Yeah, that age, 10 minutes is like 2 seconds. I mean, mm-hmm. like, just immediately made a beeline over there. So,
it probably took him forever to wait 10 minutes. 10 minutes probably felt like an eternity if he wanted to spill the beans.
Probably to Luke. But yeah, so, I mean, you're right. I mean,
wow, yeah.
Can see you wherever you're talking to someone else.
Okay.
So before we get to what Huck, Adrian, and Eli came up with, we got to go back here to the beginning. So, you know, obviously Green Team has left and the Yellow Team has come back. And in the morning log talk, we get them reading letters for the first time. And so we hear in Mac's letter how he is calling out Huck. As somebody that cannot be trusted. So, and they ended up giving their growth to Team Red.
Yeah. Were you guys shocked about that at all? I wasn't too shocked.
No.
No, not with Skylee and Andy being so close to each other. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That definitely made sense. But again, this is another kind of nod to Endurance. Endurance did letters as well. And so, to kind of have that solidification of, okay, this is going to be another story element that we pull from this predecessor. It was really fun. And it was also kind of nice that they each got to write their own letter, because in Endurance, there was only like, they wrote a letter together. And I never had to write a letter, so I don't know what that process was like. But did, it was really,
unfortunately.
Yeah. So yeah, Lily, what was that process like? Like, because you guys had to share a letter versus each of you getting to write your own individual letter.
Right. I mean, well, when Eric and I were eliminated on High Sierras, we drove back to the big hotel where all the parents were staying. We got driven back, and while we were on the ride back, we wrote the letter together. And we always knew it was just going to be our letter together. But I'm not exactly sure why they decided on this one to let them have like individual letters, which I kind of liked the individual letters, because you get to hear each person's voice.
Yeah, and perspective as well, too. Mm-hmm. And so very quickly on in this episode, I know pretty much for the first two episodes, we've been hit with this gray, blue, and red alliance. Although it kind of seems, you know, based off of the evidence and circumstantial things, that it seems like gray and blue are a lot closer to each other than both of them are to red. But we have Huck here saying that I don't trust Luke because Luke keeps passing along information. And just that on paper, I mean, like, if I'm Luke, and if I'm in an alliance with somebody, you know, and they tell me something in confidence, or it, like, if I tell somebody something in confidence, it's supposed to be in confidence. Mm-hmm. If I tell somebody something general, like, hey, I have two brothers and three sisters, and they share that, like, I'm not going to be, you know, because I did, you know, that's not something that I would want to keep a secret, or, you know. But if I tell something somebody in confidence, it's a whole other thing to tell that information and spread that around.
I feel like, you know, there's definitely an element of strategy of being a person in these competition games who has all this information and who shares this information to, you know, pull people closer and stuff. Unfortunately, when you're in a situation where you're playing with a bunch of like high school kids, gossip runs rampant. And a lot of times people don't understand that you need to hold some information in and use it at the right time. Versus blah, 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 blah. And I think so it's harder for kids these age, unless you're Jack, of course, to use this type of strategy. And, you know, I feel like Luke was feeling vulnerable. I mean, you just saw it. I mean, he's the smallest guy out there. And it just, even though he made a mistake, like my heart so went out to him. When you have Eli, Adrian, and Huck, these three dudes who are probably like twice as tall as him, cornering him and just yelling at him. And it's like, I feel like this was just a mistake Luke made early on because of being insecure about where he really stood with these people. And, you know, props to him because he was able to turn it around real quick.
Yeah. And I felt like both sides didn't really handle their positions well. I think Huck had the right idea of saying, okay, you know, I'm noticing this pattern of Luke saying information. Okay, is he going to do it to me again? Let me see if he's going to do it to me again. And if he does, okay, then I know for sure, okay, I can't trust Luke. But I feel like where they lost it was when they immediately confronted Luke about it afterwards. Because I think if they had tested Luke, if Huck had just tested Luke and is now like, hey, and just pulls Luke aside and it's like, hey, Luke, so apparently Pink knows the secret information that I told you. Like, I told you this in confidence. Why did you betray me and tell them that? That's one thing, because then that would be understandable why, you know, Huck would be mad. And it also puts Luke in a position of being accountable. And, you know, it'll make Huck come off better in that situation. But when you kind of like, not necessarily rub it in his face, but more like just really confront and be like, ha, see, I got you. I tricked you. I told you this lie. And you, then it's like, well, then now you've just opened this whole can of worms, because yes, you did prove that Luke, you know, is willing to share your information with other teams if given the chance. But now that's muddied because the information wasn't even true and everybody was in on it. And it just makes it seem like this was this whole elaborate setup to take out Luke. And I feel like it could have been, I think if Huck took the more, passive approach and was like, why did you, I told you something and then you told them, well, now I can't trust you. Like, don't acknowledge that you lied. Like, don't acknowledge the whole thing, but just be like, I've noticed that I've told you things and I've heard it around and I didn't really believe it at first, but now this time, okay, this is the last straw.
Or even
something
not,
to kind of justify. Yeah.
Even if they didn't go up to Luke and they just had the knowledge that they can't trust Luke anymore.
Because or that.
As soon as they walked up to Luke, Luke also knows, oh, they're out to get me. Whereas he didn't know that before. So now Luke has something against them to send them to the cave potentially.
Well, and also it then puts Luke back a little bit up against the wall going into the next challenge of if I very much knowing if we don't win this, we have three teams that were just kind of yelling, screaming at me. Who, you know, when there's not very many teams to go off of in the first place, one little mistake like this can turn everybody against you. So it was definitely, I think, a mistake on everybody's part how they dealt with this situation. You know, but at the end of the day, because Luke and Ari pulled out that win during the challenge, they were in control. they had full power of who is going up up to the cave. I almost said up to the temple, but to the cave.
And I think, and what this also does is this pushes Blue more into the arms of the other three teams. It pushes them towards Red, Pink, and Purple. So now, you know, I mean, now, you know, unfortunately, we lost Orange here, but now it's just, you know, yellow and gray are on the outs, and now Blue is more pushed towards Red, Pink, and Purple. It's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic turns out for the rest of the season as well, too.
At the same time, I totally get it how they confronted him. Like, they were hyped. They were mad.
They were so hyped. They were so excited. Yeah.
Can imagine doing that. I mean, maybe not myself, but, like, I could see where their heads were at, you know.
Also, there's a certain element when you, I mean, I know this is day five probably in, but there's a certain element when you're on these TV shows and stuff as a kid where you're like you forget a lot of the times that the cameras are there, but then sometimes you're like, oh, the cameras are here. And like, you realize you have this big dramatic moment that you can play out with your other friends. And so we're going to be drama because this is TV and not real life. And I feel like there was a little element of that. You could tell they were all so ready to kind of have this dramatic soap opera like confrontation with Luke moment, and it was pretty hilarious. But what was this challenge called? And can we talk about that?
We took a throwback all the way back to Endurance Season 1 with Tilt.
Yes,
and this is the challenge that actually didn't Blue win this in Endurance Season 1?
Yeah, I think they did. Donna and Aaron.
Yeah. They definitely won this challenge, but though I guess this is a challenge for Blue teams, apparently.
Was that start?
That contraption. Nope. I would have said, I think for Endurance Season 1, they were already kind of hanging like that. They didn't tilt and
it just didn't,
I think they were already
dropped quickly.
It didn't drop. No,
I actually was kind of surprised. Nobody just flew off right at the beginning.
Right?
I thought with the weight, just sliding out of somebody's hands. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was very much just like, we're going to gradually just kind of slowly tilt you down and then doom, and like immediately just like drop it. I remember like my boyfriend and I both like, even it was my second time watching, we like audibly like, we're like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. like, are you trying to shake these children off of this contraption? So like very much props to all the strength of all of those kids for even getting through that initial dunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a challenge that favors, evenly matched teams, or at least somebody that has the ability to hold their other partner for longer. And I'm surprised nobody took Blue team strategy from Endurance, where, you know, Jeanne was calling out different arms and Aaron?
Yeah, Aaron.
Aaron would hold one arm so that Jeanne could adjust the grip on the other and like kind of keep them in place for longer.
I don't remember that.
Nobody remembers Endurance 1, especially these kids. Are you kidding me?
I know.
That was like almost 20 years ago at this point.
It's still on YouTube, though.
It's still
it
there.
Is. You're right. It is.
And it seems like a lot of people did watch Endurance prior to doing that. So, I mean, seeing a challenge like this...
This is a challenge I always wanted to do. Like I remember the entire time, like I was on Endurance and we kind of got one like this, but like I totally failed because I didn't totally fail. Mike forced me to fail, but, he knows. He knows what he did. But I love when they're on this epic contraption. It truly is this teamwork situation of, they both just have to hold on. Mm-hmm. You have to hold on, you know, and it forces you to really have trust in your partner very early.
And Ariana was very vocal about like, Luke, do not let me go. She also knew like, mm-hmm. if we don't win this, like we're toast. And even at the very beginning, Luke is screaming, I can't do this. I'm going to pass out. And then unbelievably, they just Hold on. And I honestly think that you guys are right. Like, who knows if gray, orange, and yellow hadn't confronted them like that, maybe they wouldn't have had the willpower to hang on even longer.
You know what? I think they really should have waited on who wins this mission before they went, like, because then they could take advantage of the fact that, hey, now they've been sitting on this information. Hey, and whoever wins, go up to them. And then even if Blue still wins, it's not like Blue knows that their whole spot has been blown up. You know, it might have been better to wait. Even if you were excited in the moment, you know, could have been better
also,
to wait.
I'll say this. You never really on Endurance saw a big blow up like this, like drama blow up like this between the guys. So like, I don't know if this is a generational thing and like, you know, the young women in Gen Z have, like, you know, they've kind of started just being each other's allies rather than allowing, you know, just society to pit them against each other. But it was just really funny to me because I felt like throughout almost the entire series of Karma, you never really got those fatty, like cat fights or women, like, dramatic moments. This was the dude. The dudes all going at it and be like, I got you. So I don't know. Maybe there is some stuff on the cutting room floor, but it made me proud of the new generation of young women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, and after this challenge, wow, Blue is so vindicated in this victory. They've just been called out. They felt vulnerable. They get up there and they win.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hold office hours. And Ari gets so sassy.
She does get sassy.
Yeah.
That power goes to her head so fast. Lily, what did you think, like, when they kind of started holding these kind of office hours? Because they seem to do this whenever important decisions were needing to be made. They just automatically had this idea to, hey, let's do this very diplomatically, even though it was not that all the time.
I was very happy. Not only because I like that every team gets to have their voice heard, but also because it would make my life easier in post-production. It's just not messy. Everyone's everywhere. It's like, okay, well, we know this is where they are and where each of these storylines happen. So I was happy that they decided to do that.
Yeah. And it seemed like really, a lot of, because of the drama between the guys, really the guys became the important factor in terms of convincing Blue to not send them. So, you know, Blue's talking to Orange and Ari is saying, I want to hear from Adrian.
Right.
Why we shouldn't send you. Like, we're good with Presley. It's Adrian. We need to hear from Adrian. And I thought Adrian had a good point. I mean, you know, Orange, you know, I mean, they haven't really won anything. They haven't really been seen as a strong team yet. It doesn't really make sense to send them to the temple, because if you're trying to get out somebody else and you're sending Orange with them, you know, Orange is going to leave.
But
old endurance habits send them to temple. Temple is the cave. Anybody who doesn't have endurance.
Oh, it's like burned into my brain. Send them to the temple. The cave. Send them to the cave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think their points were all good points, but it all came down to, can Blue rebuild their trust with Gray, which they did have at one point.
Yeah, I think this Blue winning this challenge really allowed them to kind of look at the whole field of competitors and be like, who do we really want to work with moving forward? Who are we going to try to, like, immediately use our power to completely bury the hatchet and gain their trust by, like, using their opinion with ours to who we send to the cave? And they chose Gray, which I know, you know, I feel like you look at a Huck and a Sienna, seems like a very strong team, even though, you know, they might have not gotten along super well at the beginning. But Huck's 6'3", Sienna's also super tall, and they just, you know, they just look like a very strong team. So I get that choice. But yeah, the sending Orange to the cave did it just doesn't make sense. It feels like, you know, Adrian is obviously an easy person to target because he has been so boisterous, like, since day one of this game. So it's somebody you can easily, like, turn other people against because, hey, he is going to, like, be dramatic. He's going to be loud. He's going to share his opinion even when we don't want to hear it. Like, that's an easy target if you're worried about people coming back and biting you in the butt if they don't go home. So, you know, it's an easy karmic target, unfortunately. And Sweet Presley kind of got the, because we didn't really get to see much of her kind of strategy leading up to this and kind of her individual gameplay. But we did see a lot of Adrian's.
Yeah, and I'm really curious once we have Presley and Adrian join us, what that whole process was like, because what we saw was Presley go to Adrian and say, hey, you need to apologize to Blue. And Adrian is kind of not really taking Presley seriously and is sort of kind of laughing it off, saying he shouldn't really do that because, I mean, they're not going to forgive him. Why should he go and apologize?
Right. And that
which I could understand on some level, but I just thought the way that I just felt so bad the way that Adrian had handled, you know, talking with his own partner. And this is when I'm really starting to think, wow, you know, it really does seem like because of the way that Max set up these teams, and this will probably be a theme throughout this whole season, but like, it really does feel like everybody is just acting independent of each other. And like, we have, you know, Presley and Ilya doing a fine job over here. And then Adrian and Eli over here doing their own thing with other, and they're not really working together as a team. It didn't really feel like Orange and Yellow were really fighting to avoid this. It just felt like two different approaches that were at conflict with each other.
Mm-hmm. And then we have that moment in the boys' cabin, the cabin on the left, where Adrian says, what kind of man does that make me? Or Eli says that. And then Adrian's like, not even man, a Luke. And that's when everything really blows up.
Yeah.
Luke is not about it. And he goes straight to Presley and Ilya.
Like, you need to control your partners because you're gone. Like, Ariana's like, you're gone, you're done.
That's a huge risky move. It's like, you're literally going to be talking trash on the person who is making this decision. Like, right before they're making this decision, like, why? Like, just, you know, if that's how you feel, maybe go have a side conversation once you're done with your little, with the Michelle talk and, you know, everything like that. I don't know. Maybe it was a situation where he was very aware of the fact that he was going to get sent to the Cape. So he was kind of pissed and kind of just standing there being pissed. And he knew there was really no chance. So he was just kind of running his mouth.
I think that was the case.
That was the case. Okay.
I mean, I think that he was sure that he was going. And so mm-hmm. there wasn't much of a point of holding his tongue there. So, I mean, but we can ask him that. Is he here? Is he in the waiting room?
No, not yet. I only have Presley here, yeah, I mean, and I'm going to plug Michelle's video here on YouTube where she did a video in her Challenge Accepted series about how she became a TV host. And there is an extended kind of behind the scenes on this particular episode of her walking in this just utter, like, I compared it to be like being the substitute teacher and walking into a classroom and seeing your like this classroom of students and going like, oh, what is happening here, and trying to get everybody, you know. I do not envy her in that moment. I felt like she handled that very well.
It's so funny to me too, because there was a certain element, and Lily, like, if you remember this too, and maybe this is just like the way like we were raised, but if there was an adult that you knew, and like, you knew on Endurance when JD was gonna enter, you knew when those setups were about to happen, They would stop you down. They would put you in the huts. They'd say, okay, we're going to send JD. You guys walk out of the huts, or you're going to walk down this and you're going to meet JD. And you knew you just had to like be, there's a certain amount of, and I'm not saying the kids are disrespectful, but you immediately kind of like, okay, adults coming into the room, like let's kind of be on our best behavior type of situation. And they knew this was about to happen. And so for them to know and them to still kind of pop off like that, I have to just kind of hats off to JD, hats off to Michelle and to the producers to just allow this to happen organically and still sending Michelle in. Like that was a risky move to still send her in.
This is what happened. I mean, this is what I remember from my perspective. We were getting ready to send Michelle down there. And so all the cameras are getting set up for like on the tripods for the Michelle section, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was in that moment, Michelle's like standing up to the side waiting for her cue. So she doesn't really know what's going on. But yes, there was some drama. I don't know if she knew that, but it wasn't like crazy yet. And so that's when everything went crazy when she's waiting off to the side. Then all of a sudden everybody's running around and then it's like, okay, go Michelle. It's like, and she really, from what I saw, I don't think she knew at all what she was walking into.
Oh, absolutely not. And we do have Presley waiting here. I might bring Presley in here because I know Presley wants to talk a lot about this situation. So, I'm wearing orange in honor of her. Michelle told us about her when we were previewing Karma. So I was very, very excited to see Presley. And the fact that she was in my favorite color, orange, I was so excited to see Presley there. And I'm so excited for this. But and we also have Monroe here from season 3 of Endurance Hawaii. So I'm going to bring Monroe in here. Bring in Presley as well. So hello.
Yay, Presley.
Howdy. I'm super excited to be here. Yeah.
Oh, the flag is
haircut.
Glowing. I love that.
Yeah, I put fairy lights in front of it.
Hey.
I'm trying to start off my YouTube videos. So.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Presley, welcome. Thank you so much for being here and just being such like an awesome just like character and person on Karma. Like you were, I felt like you were such an individual and it was so great to see that representation.
Right now, I'm
Monroe's internet's struggling.
Yeah, it does sound like Monroe's internet is struggling. Maybe you want to hop out and come back in if you can hear me still.
Yeah, well.
Ooh. But in the meantime, Presley, I know that you said that you had a lot to say on the behind the scenes here. So,
yes.
What I can't even fathom. What even happened this episode?
So much happened. So, like, what was going on behind the scenes was so important to like the huge blow up that we had. It didn't really seem like it in the edit, but like this was days coming. This was in progress. People were fighting way before this, even off camera when we were hanging out and not allowed to talk about game. I know that Adrian and Eli were rubbing people the wrong way already and people were already mad at them. And so I sort of knew going into this challenge that like if somebody else won, we were going to the cave. That was it. Like I knew from the beginning and me and Adrian both knew, I think going into this episode, that we were almost certainly going to be sent to the cave. So that's sort of why it was. So you were talking about Adrian sort of just being kind of mad and talking about someone in front of them. That was because I think at that point we didn't have any expectation or hope that we would be saved. We were just like, we're going to the cave. What happens, happens. Might as well like make an impression before we go.
Presley, you said that Adrian and Eli were both rubbing people the wrong way. And that's interesting to hear because Eli kind of was portrayed as this like very sweet, like very quiet, like dude. So what about Eli was rubbing people the wrong way? Was it similar things that Adrian was doing?
It wasn't actually necessarily anything specifically Eli was doing. He is super sweet and super friendly, and he was kind of a follower. So behind the scenes, he and Adrian were really close. Like, me and Ilya were very, very close, and Adrian and Eli were very, very close. And so Eli would kind of just defend Adrian and do everything he was doing. Hence why some people were sort of like, hey, both Adrian and Eli are an issue, because when they're put together, Eli starts perpetuating what Adrian was. And like, I don't have anything against the way that Adrian was interaction. What my game was going to be before I ended up having my partner was that, like, I'm 4'11 and I'm a nerd. I am like the easiest person to underestimate in the world. I remember one of the first things that people learned about me was that I wanted to be an entomologist when I was a kid. I said that because before we were allowed to really talk, I was just like, hey, stop trying to kill this bee that was floating around. And so I told them some bee facts, and immediately people were like, that's a nerd. And I was obviously not a physical competitor, because I am a chronically ill 4'11 person. So people weren't really scared of me. So what I wanted to do is I really wanted to play up that sort of like youthful innocence. I was one of the younger members of the cast, just like, don't look at me, I'm not doing anything. And then be able to use that to encourage other people. I know that I came across on the show because I didn't get much of my own game. Like, what I was trying to portray is just like this little baby who is like innocent and soft. But what I was really trying to be like, I want people to feel bad for me, and I want people to view me as this innocent little child, and I want people to underestimate me so that I can stay in the game until later in the competition when everything is alliances and smarts and game. And so that's what I was trying to do. But then with the associations with Adrian, I already had a target on my back, which I couldn't really avoid. And so I did end up having a lot of people feeling bad for me and underestimating me, but that didn't save me because people wanted Adrian out so bad, which is unfortunate, because I think that Adrian could have had a really good redemption, because like, we talked about it and we just have very different methods of communicating as people, and he never necessarily did anything that was explicitly wrong. He's just a very blunt and honest person, and I'm a lot more of a sort of soft step around the issue kind of person. Right. And like, those two clashed a lot. And I really do wish that we had a little bit more time, because we ended up having a really nice moment where we just kind of talked it out. And I was like, I need you to apologize. I need you to be a little less blunt about what you're saying. I need you to, like, here's a compliment sandwich, learn how to do this. Give some criticism instead of just going straight for it. And I was like, I will be more clear about my needs. I will to keep in mind that you don't mean to attack me when you're criticizing my game, because it felt like that to me, but I know that you're just trying to communicate and get your perspective out there, and you just want to be heard. And that was a really nice moment that didn't make it into the edit, which was unfortunate, because I really liked that.
Speaking of Adrian, we do have Adrian here.
Oh, good.
Hi. Yay! He's here.
Hello, Adrian.
Yeah.
Is your finger okay?
My finger is okay. It's just jammed, and my wrist is broken.
Oh no! Oh.
Believe it or not, so this hand is useless right now.
Bummer. You can't play piano.
I can play chords with one hand, but I can't do anything else than that.
Good.
You guys had, like, Presley, I know you were saying how you felt like this one moment was left out of, like, a really sweet moment of you guys kind of, like, coming together as a team. But I felt like you guys really did have a wonderful kind of journey and story of how you both kind of rose to the occasion to find common ground and to learn to communicate with each other in such a, like, short amount of time. Because you guys did have your backs up against the wall once you were going to the cave. And so I don't know. I definitely felt like you two had a wonderful story and were such a memorable team because of the way you guys learned to work with each other rather than kind of let your different personalities keep you at odds.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really useful. Like, even outside of the game, I think it was a really useful, like, life lesson for me. I think that the team that I was in game-wise put me at a disadvantage, but like from, I never really viewed Karma as like a show that I would win. I never was like, oh yeah, I'm going to win this show. I was just like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to learn something about myself and I'll come back home. And I did. I learned how to sort of make myself a lot clearer. Like I learned from Adrian. I am such an anxious person and I'm really bad at just stating my needs explicitly and not talking around something and being kind of standing up for myself. And Adrian is like very good at just saying his perspective and putting it out there. And so I definitely learned that I need to like communicate more directly and I need to start kind of making excuses for myself. And like that was super beneficial and useful both in this partnership and like in my life afterwards, because I gained the ability to just be like, hey, I want to do this. Let's do it. And that helped. Like, that's why I chopped off all my hair, because I was like wanting to do it for months and I just never said anything. And then when I got back, I was like, actually, I want to cut my hair off. I'm going to cut my hair off. And then we booked an appointment and I cut all my hair off. So that was
Look at Adrian dropping knowledge. Adrian, yeah. Love it.
It is so interesting to watch the show and watch you guys be in a partnership, because you are so different in the way that you communicate, in the way that you like your honesty and just your emotions are so different, but that is what real life is like. Like you have to figure out how to work with people. And I really feel like, especially near the end of episode 3, when you guys apologize to each other and we're like, you know, Adrian, you said, I feel like I was being insensitive to your moment. And I thought that was a really powerful scene. So Adrian, what did you learn from Presley?
I learned, well, to be honest, it almost sounds like Presley learned more from the negative side. I mean, from the positive side, I feel like I learned more from the negative side. I feel like I learned, like I said in the live with Michelle, that you have to be friends with somebody before you can be teammates. And I feel like I jumped into the team aspect, into the strategic aspect before I was all like, let me get to know Presley. Let's see if we even communicate well before I just try to put strategy on her. And okay. So I think you have to be friends with somebody before you can be a teammate is now my new perspective on life after Karma. Okay.
What, you know, I know like the team thing, we've talked to Mac about who he paired everybody up with and stuff. And he didn't quite remember who did you guys think would have been your ideal partner if you could have picked your partner? Like, obviously, everybody was thrown into a situation where they had to figure out how to work with somebody that maybe wasn't their number one choice. But when you guys first kind of sized everybody up, who were you really hoping for?
I'm going to make the card stance mad a little here for a second, because I remember that I really wanted to be paired up with Huck because I knew that he was smart. And I also knew that he would have been an advantage, like, physically for me. Because, again, he is a giant, and I am 4'11". I will be 5 foot when I'm an adult. And, like, that is my height. So I was sort of going for that aspect because I wanted somebody who I could have an advantage with in physical competitions, but who could also understand me sort of strategizing with him and have like that intellectual discussion. I remember that's who I think I explicitly stated that I wanted at first.
Adrian?
When I walked in to the cabin or tent, the tabin as we called it, with Mac, and I don't think this showed on the show, but I explicitly said, you can literally give me anybody, just not Presley, which is why I thought it was funny that he gave me Presley.
And I said the same about you. Obviously, no ill will, right. But I was like, I don't want, just give
right.
me.
Right. I remember we said the same thing about each other. We just didn't want each other, which is why I thought it was so funny that he gave us each other. But to this day, I really don't know who else I would have wanted if I could have chose the challenge. I mean, if I won the challenge and I had to choose, I honestly don't know who I'd pair myself up with. Even after the show, I don't think like, oh, they would have been a better teammate. I think I'm just good with the teammate I had.
Yeah.
And I would love to get Adrian's perspective on just what happened this episode. I know that, you know, the plan had come together to kind of, you know, Luke was doing some things and you all saw it and you wanted to see, hey, will he continue to do this to us or is he going to, you know, actually keep a secret? But he didn't. And, you know, you all confronted Luke about that. What was your whole perspective on this whole thing?
Well, in the cabin, Huck, like I said on the show, Huck, he brought up the idea. And as soon as he said I was on board, I was like, Huck, he's right there. Let's go right now. So then we go. And I already knew. I already knew how this was going to go. I already knew because I knew Luke is like this. He's been showing it since day one. There really was no point. But the part that didn't show on the show is that me and Huck constantly had arguments with other people because we did not like Luke because he was such a manipulative person. He deceived so many people. So I was all like, but they kept denying it. So me and Huck were like, we're finally going to show people. We're gonna show people since they can't choose to believe it, which is why after we did it, Ariana was all like, oh my gosh, this is so stupid. But no, that was also because that's her teammate. Andy was shutting it down. Skylar was shutting it down. They really didn't want to look at it. They were like, it's dumb. You're calling him out for no reason. But if we didn't call him out, they would have not acknowledged that he was a liar. So I feel like it had to be done.
Okay. So yeah, that was one of the things. Sorry, go ahead, Presley.
Oh, yeah. I just know that me and Ilya and Avon also had sort of like this alliance in calling out Luke and Ari, because Luke and Ari in more of the social game were kind of targeting us as well, because they bonded really easily with the other teammates. And so me and Ilya and Avon were all sort of less in like the big social game. We all kind of kept to ourselves. And so we were also targeted. And so at first we were like, hey, why are we calling out Luke? Because I like Luke. Like, he was really nice to me in some of the social game. But there was also the aspect of blue team was actively trying to take down yellow, pink, and orange. And so I remember the three of us ended up, I don't know how much of this like actually made it, but the three of us kind of ended up being like, hey, they needed to be called out. Like, they really needed that to be going on. And that was sort of the catalyst for everybody to start just going nuts on each other, because we had all been sort of keeping it to ourselves and talking amongst each other in like little hushed tones, some more explicitly than others. But I remember that mostly I was just like mad in a more private moment. And then suddenly everybody was like, we're going to host an air your grievances party and we're all just going to go off. And then that got out of hand really, really fast because everybody was like, now is the time to speak my mind about everything. And then suddenly there's all these perspectives that you didn't even think of just flying around during this argument, because it was actually like 45 minutes of arguing. A bunch of it got in, ended up getting cut out. It was a super long argument. It went on for a long time.
Did you guys feel like, because Michelle walked in at one point during one of these arguments, none of you guys were like, let's shut it down because Michelle is here? Or were you just didn't even care? You're just going?
No, I don't think anybody. I think we were all even like excited because we were like, everybody wanted Michelle to kind of be on their side and like back them up. Everybody wanted an outside source because there were no outside sources. Somebody wanted an outside source to tell them they were right. Because when it's basically just you, because everybody was fighting each other, you want somebody to be like, I see you. I understand your point. And so everybody was like actually kind of excited. I also think that the argument blew up so much because it kind of started in the individual cabins. And then they were like, hey, we got to meet up in the middle. And so all of us sort of knew that Michelle was coming and we were then all put in one place. And so then it just got so much worse because we were all sitting there next to each other and it just boom.
And you're like, wait till Michelle gets here. She's going to hear my side of the story and this will be settled. We'll have the outside, you know, Judge Michelle roll up to set the record straight. Did you feel like she did that though? Or did you think she kind of walked the middle road there?
I didn't think she had to. I don't think she should have or could have been like, sort of picked favorites and rose everybody up. But because everybody was so mad, we were all sort of delusioning ourselves into believing that, like, we would get an automatic win to the competition for being so good at arguing and being so right. And we were just like all, since we were so caught up in the argument and in the, like, we're right, we're doing the right thing kind of vibe, we were like, something is going to happen when Michelle's here. Somebody is going to get in game trouble for this. And then what I think made the game like so powerful is that it was just like, no, it's up to karma. Like, I'm not going to do anything. The producers aren't going to give anybody a disadvantage for this. If you're putting this out there, and it's going to come back to you somehow. And I thought like that was actually a way better way to handle it than how I would have.
Well, as a viewer, let me tell you, you were right. At least that was my take on the situation.
It was just so much of it was not in the show. Like, you can't put all of the interactions in the show. Because right. I was also being way, like, taking everything way farther than it needed to go. Like, Adrian would say something like that wasn't actually that bad, and then I would be like, oh my god, you're trying to kill me. You're
Adrian
so mean.
was pressed to being a little dramatic up there.
What? Every day.
Yeah. What's your approach to I guess calming her stresses, like, and what was your reaction, like, for example, in that campfire? She says she wants to switch partners to Ilya. Like, what was your reaction to that? How did you feel about that?
Well, when it comes to calming Presley down, I really didn't, I'll just be honest, I really didn't care too much to calm her down. I just think she wasn't looking at it like a game. And I know at some parts, I guess she should have looked at it like a game, but at the same time, we're there to win, and she just wasn't focused on winning all of the time. So when she said that she wished that Ilya could be her partner, I really didn't care. Because she said it multiple times before. It wasn't like that was the first time me hearing that at the campfire with Michelle. That wasn't my first time hearing it. So I was just like, I really don't care. I just want to go to the cave, see if we win or not. And if we don't, we don't. But I don't want to not try. And I don't think this was part of the show, but I remember us walking to the cave. Presley was telling me she really doesn't care how it goes. I just want to see my dad. I could leave. And I personally didn't have that same mindset. I didn't want to go home. So I kind of, a lot of the time, and shamefully, a lot of the time, I just blocked out things that Presley was saying, because it was just not, it wasn't the same headspace as I was in. So I was just blocking it out.
Like, I really honestly admire your ability to do that, because and like, since I've grown a lot and been able to sort of compartmentalize that stuff a lot more, but like, everything was personal. I was going through like a super anxious time. And so like, just like completely incidentally, it wasn't really even the show's fault. I was just kind of going through a rough mental patch, that summer. And so like, that sort of was just all on me. And so I was sort of freaking out the whole time. And I do wish that I had been able to put aside my super emotional side so that I could actually like stay in the competition a little bit longer. Cause I think that had this drama passed, I would have been able to handle it a lot better. But yeah, I also think my favorite quote, that's going in my favorite quotes book though, that I was dramatic every day, because I am. That's
and we love it. Okay.
I'm Adrian,
you, as you are.
Adrian, I want to ask you about, because you were huge, even though you guys weren't there very long, Adrian, you were such a big part of the story as a whole, because from day one, you're literally calling out Jack. You're literally getting the entire group of the boys to change their minds, not save Jack. And then all of a sudden, Jack comes back. Can you walk us through a little bit of like, your first impressions of Jack and kind of how that all kind of hashed itself out on day one?
Okay, well, I don't really think that I'm, you know, blind. And I do think in that situation, they were. Here's the thing. The first day, right, especially at lunch, our first lunch, we weren't really supposed to talk. But we did anyway. And we did get yelled at for it, I think, by Drina or somebody. But we really weren't supposed to talk. And so already I was just getting a bad vibe from Jack, which I'm pretty sure, like I said, we weren't supposed to talk. So they probably wanted to catch that bad vibe on camera. That's why we weren't supposed to talk to the cameras were there. But I already got a bad vibe from Jack. So then, and it was just, it was such a I'm going to win attitude. That was the vibe I didn't like. It was such a I'm going to win attitude. So then at the first campfire, when he says, and I'm going to win the $50,000, I was like, he's not joking. He really means that he's going to do anything to get it. But everybody else was looking at it like a joke, which I guess if they didn't catch the same vibe that I caught, maybe to them it seemed like a joke. But to me, I knew what he was doing. I knew what he was doing. So
wasn't the chessboard in the backpack?
He taught me how to play chess, so I was super biased because
Adrian,
first person I talked to.
Adrian, I felt like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember in an earlier episode talk, I was like, I feel like the reason Adrian might have zeroed in on Jack was because he saw a little bit of his own strategy in Jack. And so that was a threat to you in a way of, this guy's going to try to play this game. Like, I know this guy's game because it's my game and I'm going to do it before he does. So I'm going to get him out before he can get me out. Was there an element of that in it or not at all?
Game recognized game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say I knew Jack was a big fan of Survivor too. So that was the thing, because as soon as I had, as soon as I started my application process for Karma, I did go back and watch tons of Survivor. So I watched season 28. So that's another thing. At the lunch, we were talking about our favorite Survivor players. And I said, what's his name? I forgot his name. Can season you believe 20? That? I forgot my favorite Survivor player.
Russell. Your favorite player?
Tony?
Come on now. Dig deep.
I know. What's his name? Tony. Yes, Tony.
Tony.
And so he was my favorite player. And Jack was like, he really liked him. I don't think Jack said that was his favorite player, but me and him were talking about the things that we really liked about Tony. And so then already I was like, yeah, this dude, he's smart up there. He's smart up there. And so I was like, he said he was going to win $50,000. And the camera didn't even really, like, the edit didn't show all of this, but we were really arguing about that all the way up until the actual Right to Stay challenge. And that night, I think I went to sleep with half of the boys disliking me, to be honest, because of that.
You were pretty influential with the dudes, I must say. I mean, there was the Right to Stay where you kind of swayed how that shook out. And then there was the trap, I'll call it, when you laid the trap that caught Luke up in some of his, you know, different days saying different things different ways. You seemed to really have a lot of clout with the dudes in the camp. Was that how you were feeling during the game?
Yes, but not in the best of ways. I was feeling like anything I say, they're going to hear it and then they're going to think negative about it because I said the same thing about Mac, and it showed once on the show. I said, I really think that Mac is the evil genius for this. Remember I said that to Presley, but I made a big thing out of it, and they didn't even put that on the show, but I made a big thing out of it. Every time I saw someone as a threat, my initial thought was, I'm going to tell the camp why I think they're a threat and how as a whole, we can eliminate that player. And the camp wasn't feeling my strategy on that.
You had like this whole whistleblower attitude always, and I like really respect that. And like you, I can think of, I honestly can't remember. My memory is very patchy because it was just so much happening at once. But I can't remember you actually being wrong about the people you were talking about.
Oh.
It was just a matter of it was the wrong move to just say it to everybody to their face. Like what? I really admire your ability to just be like, that's a threat. That's a threat. Like you're way smarter than the cameras gave you credit for, because every little thing that happened that even I didn't pick up on, you were like, that's a move. That's a danger. That's a threat to us. We need to point that out. And like, had I cooperated with you a little bit more also and like sowed those seeds in the girls' cabin, because like you were saying, the girls' cabin was like, we were allies. We were just friends. There was not a lot of
kumbaya.
Yeah. I mean, it was very mean girls where our fighting was like not out there. It was very subtle. It was very, there was not a lot of it, but all of the actual fighting in the girls' cabin was like, we would not be able to have seen it like on camera, because it was just teensy, like subtle. But
microaggression.
I had been able to talk to you and cooperate with you a little bit easier at first, and been like, "Hey, yeah," because I knew you were right, and been like sowing those seeds very subtly in that girl's cabin, and then you could have both team members sort of, because like what happened is you did have a ton of influence in the guy's cabin. Always, they always listened to you, but then their partners would come out and be like, "Stop! Like, no, he's wrong." Like it was entirely my cabin that was changing their minds against you. That was not them. Like they wanted to listen to you. And so had we been able to play that just a little bit better, we could have totally gotten a ton of people out just by playing that super like sneaky sow those seeds kind of strategy. Like I don't know if I would have done that because of like how I wanted to be represented on the show, but it would have worked most certainly. And it was actually, which is unfortunate that it didn't come across this way, it was like one of the bravest and most kind of like noble strategies to tell everybody, to be like, everybody deserves to know that this person is doing something wrong. Like that was, it made a lot of people mad at the time, which is unfortunate, but typically like revolutionaries tend to make people really mad. People calling other people out tend to make people really mad, but like you were right 100% about all of these things you were arguing against.
Adrian, I think she thinks you were right.
I think so too. She said it. She definitely said it a lot. But I do. I think I was right too. I humbly say I think I was right too. No, I don't think I was right. I know I was right. But Jack said it too. I was very much right about Jack, and I think I know I was right about Luke too, and I'm pretty sure I was Luke. I mean, I was right about Mac, but at the same time, Mac really did start to seem to regret his choosing of the teams a little bit. And I think he doesn't anymore, but I think towards him getting out on the show, he really started to regret that. So I'm not so sure if I was right about Mac.
You completely got Green eliminated. Like that was kind of your thing, because from what I remember, you were one of the first people to be like, Mac did this on purpose. Mac gave us the people we didn't want. And then everybody was like, yeah, did.
It seems Adrian, you left a lot of karma in the game when you left.
Yeah. Well, because in the water bucket challenge, what was it called? I don't even remember. But what they didn't show on the camera is that while we were going back and forth filling up water bottles, we were shouting at each other why we should get somebody out. So Green was all like, remember the people who got out Jack. And then I was all like, well, look at your teams, get Green, look at your teams. And that was, we were kind of chanting mantras of why people should get the bucket.
Yeah.
And I thought that was,
totally forgot about that. That was it. And it was also like such a brilliant challenge because it gave us like an immediate look at how everybody viewed the teams and who was the biggest threat. And we were third on that list. So that was terrifying. But yeah, those mantras totally should have made it in because those were like brutal. And it was so, I respect, like again, you were right about Mac because Mac was so good at, he viewed us as a threat and he turned Jack into a martyr because Jack wasn't there to do anything that would make people suspicious against him. He wasn't there to sort of fight that narrative of, oh, he was just a nice little boy who wanted to play chess. And like that was being played up. It was just like so much of this game was so social and in the very subtle things that didn't actually make it on camera, which is a shame because there would have been a lot of different fan reactions if everything was out there.
Oh.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to go into the spoiler territory. So for all those that are spoiler free, haven't watched the rest of the season, where can they follow you and find you before we let those people go?
I'm Not That Presley on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and all of that stuff. I have a podcast. It's called Validate Me. I do a podcast with my dad where we show each other media that we're interested in. So my dad makes me watch movies that he enjoyed when he was my age, and I watch him make him watch stuff that I enjoy now. And so that's a super fun podcast. This is kind of poorly timed because I'm making him watch Twilight as a joke.
Yo, I love that.
I'm like, it's so fun to watch.
I like the books, but the movies, I try to rewatch them now and I'm just like, oh no. Oh, wow. I loved this so much.
Spider-Monkey. It's super fun to watch.
You said Validate Me is the name of this?
Validate Me, yes.
How about for you, Adrian?
What?
Where can we find you, Adrian?
Oh.
Online.
All I heard was Adrian. I was like, at Adrian Gilmore on every social media platform, at Adrian Gilmore.
And Adrian, what are you up to right now?
What am I up to right now?
Yeah, well, like, what, are you a musician or what's going on?
I am a musician and I'm working on some music right now. So fingers crossed, I'm going to have some music out very, very soon. So stay tuned.
Can we get a little bit of a sample? A little bit of a...
No, you cannot.
No? Okay. Follow him at Adrian Gilmore,
you
guys.
You cannot.
I'm excited for this.
Wait, what was your guys... You guys had a rap. The girls definitely made
the Conquer rap.
What's the Conquer rap? How do you do it?
Come on,
me and Eli had two different raps, actually. We had the first rap, and then Drina, she wrote down our lyrics, so then we made a diss track to Drina. And then we performed it in front of Drina. It was hilarious.
Yeah, that was a good time.
So, spoiler-free people, we're going to let you go here, and now we're going to move into spoilers. So, spoiler alert. Okay. So... Now, it seems that this move that happened here ultimately kind of ended up being the demise of all, like, gray, orange, and yellow. So it pushed blue towards red, pink, and purple, and they all made it to the end. So how is it kind of seeing that whole thing unfold there?
I was not surprised. I saw it coming, and that's because, well, especially for me and Yellow, and me and Eli still talk to this very day. We talk about this all the time. It's that me and Eli were one of the only two teams, well, Orange and Yellow, were one of the only two teams who didn't base their whole, like, game off of line. Me and Eli were very truthful. I mean, Orange and Yellow, I don't know why I keep saying me and Eli. Orange and Yellow were very truthful the entire time, and we were very open about a lot of things, and that's why a lot of other teams saw our internal struggles within our teams, and that's why it allowed them to kick us out so early. But me, I do think Orange, Yellow, and Gray left the biggest impact on the show, and that's why every team after us stayed and we left first, because we were so early to leave our impact instead of waiting to the end of the game to start picking up speed.
Mm.
There was no under the radar for
Adrian,
how many times have you told people I told you so since Purple took home the win?
Every day. Every day, because I just think it's so, and I said it the day we won, when we got back in the day one, I told you, and I kept saying, why did y'all let Jack win? Because they did, and I definitely called it, and I'm really happy that Jack and Jack's mom noticed too, because that just gave me like a little bit of validation. I'm happy they noticed that I was right about everything about Jack, because I really still cannot believe people let Jack win, and not saying Jack didn't deserve it, but I made it so blatantly obvious. I put it on a big billboard in front of everybody that Jack will win if you continue to let him do what he's doing, and people continue to let him do what he was doing, and he won the game. And that's kind of mind-blowing to me.
Adrian, you remind me so much. I don't know if you watched season 2 of Endurance, but my friend Scooter, because he told everyone, Brown team's going to win. They came back. Brown team's going to win. And he was, if we don't get him out, and they did end up winning, and he's still calls us out for it today, and it's like 17 years later. So I'm sure you'll have this.
Got eliminated about the same time too.
Yeah.
Third team out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
I adore Scooter. He's a good dude.
Yeah. It was nuts. This is just like sort of something that I wanted to bring up because I think it's amusing. It's not super related, but right after that big fight, we also went like, I think almost like straight to lunch, like pretty soon after that fight, which was super weird.
But
during that lunch, JD came and talked to all of us. Terrifying. Right? He gave me candy, though, so, like, I was fine. He gave us all candy. He's great. But he told me to, whenever I went home, to read Lord of the Flies and come back and talk to him about it. I thought that was super, like, that was such a read, because he was like, people are ganging up on you, read Lord of the Flies. And I was like, and I did read it, and it was, people were way nicer here. It was not actually that much like Lord of the Flies. There was no murdering going on or anything.
Yeah, Lord of the Flies is dark.
But it was, it was a good read, and I really enjoyed being able to sort of, like, apply that to our situation. But it also made me grateful, because it was so different, like, not to be, like, that literature person, but, like, Lord of the Flies isn't necessarily about human nature, but, like, humans are going to kill each other. It was about entitled, and it was about entitled people not listening to others, and that actually ended up making me respect the cast a lot more, because... like, as much as we fought, and as much as I remember the fighting, because it was right before I left, we did have this whole democracy thing going on. Before all the big decisions, we had a conference. There are very few decisions that people made alone, and that people didn't hear everybody out on, and that it was a very structured thing that it kind of amazes me that we all just were like, we're going to make a structure, and, like, we're going to make a democracy right now. And they did that. It was a super fascinating thing to see kids be able to, like, pull that off.
So if you would like to just fly out to DC and redo our democracy as a country, I think we would all benefit from it. But hey, speed round real quick. I want to know, from all of the other teams that were eliminated, we'll alternate Presley and Adrian, one word for the law of karma that you would assign to the team. So Presley, you go first. Green, what would be the law of karma that you would say they need?
Oh, what if I don't remember them? Hold on.
Out of any word.
I don't remember them. I don't remember them either.
Yeah, any, it doesn't have to be the ones you guys got on the game.
All right, I'm writing them in the chat right now.
Okay. Did you?
On the flip side of that, how do you think your law of focus really shaped your experience both in karma and out of karma?
What was our law again, personally?
It was focus.
Focus.
My parents.
Come on.
My parents bullied me a lot for it. I have ADHD, so it kind of is like can't focus disorder. So I picked it sort of like as a joke / reminder to myself that I needed to pay attention. And that's what I ended up not doing. And that's what I went home is like, I was supposed to focus on the game, and then I got too caught up in interpersonal relationships.
Me too, Presley. ADHD all the way.
Oh, yay! Super fun.
Yeah. All right, great team.
I have one question.
Oh,
go for it.
Sorry, I was kind of spacing out for a second, typing up all of those laws of karma. But I have a question about your guys' cave. You went in with like 5 coins versus 1 coin with yellow. What were you thinking going in, and what was your thought process as everything unfolded in there?
Okay, I'll go first.
Yeah.
We had all 5 coins, but I really wasn't sold that we were going to win, right? But I couldn't show that because Presley was already like, we're going home, we're going home, we're going home. So if that was 2 people on the team saying that we're going home, we're even more likely to go home because that's just negative energy.
We're manifesting that, yeah.
Right. However, towards the end, where we actually put the coins down, I guess it started getting surreal for me. I was like, I think we might win. And then, I think it's honestly so crazy that Ilya just knew. She just knew. And it was even shaped like that in the show, because that's really how it was in person. She was just like, it's that one right there. And she just knew. And I really think that's crazy. And it's amazing too. And I'm happy that, that Yellow got so far. I'm happy they won because Yellow is my favorite team on the show, other than myself, of course. I love Yellow, and that's why when me and Presley got out, it was no question that we were going to give Yellow team our coins. I'm happy Yellow Team got so far. And I don't think that if we would have made it out the cave, we would have lasted long anyways, just unless we would have won a challenge. I don't think we would have lasted long anyways, just because if they would have tried to send us to the cave next time for sure.
Yeah, Ilya knew so much that, like, my grandparents and my dad, like, accused me of cheating and telling her where it was. I swear on my life I didn't do that. I did not.
That was a thought you and I had.
I didn't do it. I talked about it before, but then I decided against it. I placed them randomly. She was just like, that one. And I was like, well, is it? It was also super nice.
I knew you talked about it. And so me and Eli were dead set, and to this day, because I wasn't going to say anything, but I did think you had cheated.
I promise.
All the time, I was pretty darn sure that you had, like, told Ilya where it was at, just because you were so in love with her and you want to be teammates with her, right? Yeah. So I was just like, you probably most definitely did that, but apparently not.
No, it was like, it was shocking to me too, because I was like, at that point I was just kind of like angsting. I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna lose my friend and I'm gonna be alone. And then she just like, it's that one. And I was like, hello. And then when I smashed Yellow's pot for us, my hand got cut open too, which was just like a whole nother sign. I got like, I was injured so much on this show that I know the medic by name. I knew his wife and all of his kids' names. We were like buds, because I'm such a clumsy person. Also, I think one of his kids is just about to turn one. So, like, shout out if you're listening to this. I hope they're doing
happy
well.
Happy birthday to that kid.
Happy baby birthday. They were newborn when we...
That is an...
It was just like...
Wow.
That is an interesting, strategic thing when it comes to karma, when it comes to sending two friends, really close friends, up to the cave together, because is that against the rules, Lily? Like, to tell them where, like, they hide their coins? Like, is that against the rules?
I mean, I don't think so.
I don't think anyone told
specifically
to do
it. That it was against the rules, but I don't think. I don't know why.
It's an interesting strategy moving, you know, in karma future.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it would have been messed up, I gotta say. So I'm really glad to hear that, Presley, you had a moment of clarity and didn't do that. I think that would have been something that I would have struggled with that if I would have been, you know, your partner and learned after the fact. So
definitely.
I told him before that I was like, last night me and Ilya talked about it. I want to tell her where we're putting the coins and I want them to stay in the game. And he was like, no, you are not going to do that. Excuse me. And I was like, yeah, you're right, but like, I want
to. To me, it was dumb. Like, why would you even think of doing that? And I actually realized from that moment moving forward that you didn't really care too much about the game, or at least it didn't seem like that, especially after we got sent home on our car ride back to the hotel. And I'm going to expose myself a bit. I totally broke down. I was crying and I didn't talk to anybody at all. And Michelle actually came to the car to talk to us. And I definitely didn't want to see Michelle at that moment at all.
Wait a minute, Adrian. I have a quote written down from my text with Keaton, Lily, and Aaron, where I think you said you don't cry ever on the show. So you're owning up.
Cry.
Maybe that wasn't.
I don't cry.
Except
I don't cry. I don't cry unless right until that moment right there, I did not cry at all. I actually did cry a little bit in the tent, and you saw, because we had like a confessional tent, and you saw when I was telling people how I got out, right? My eyes were a little watery, but I was actually crying a whole lot. So I'm very happy they didn't show that in the show, because I would have been really, really mad. I would have been extremely mad if they would have showed that.
They didn't come out for it too, that like they cut.
Yeah.
They, such respectful editors too, because I was like so... Until it came out, I was like, they're going to put in every single time I cried. They're going to make me look like a baby. And they're going to milk that drama. And they actually cut a lot of it out. So that was very respectful. Yeah. I appreciate that.
So while I was totally breaking down in the car ride back to the hotel, Presley was, and it really annoyed me at that moment. Presley was so happy. She was so giddy. I can't believe I'm finally going home. and we had snacks, and it was our first time. I think it was her first time ever drinking a Coke. And
it was my first time drinking Coke.
This was the most annoying thing I could ever do. She was, oh my gosh, this Coke is so good. I cannot believe it. I'm going home. I'm drinking Coke. And I was like, Chris, we just lost. Do you not care that we just lost?
And I know.
I was really, really mad at her at that situation.
That was fair. I was, first of all, I went on Karma before I went on ADHD medication. So that tells you a lot already. But then also, going home was, first of all, I had been, regardless of the fact that it was super short, I was like out there for like 3 weeks. I was in the wilderness for a while. And it was the first time I had like really good snacks in like a really long time. I love food a lot. I was very excited about that. But then there was also, there was the first time I had Coke, which caffeinates me more than coffee. I'm a regular coffee drinker. Coke makes me go insane. And I was just like so excited because my brain was just like, gave up on the fact that we lost. I process that a lot later. I process hard things once I'm alone. And since I was still with people, I was sort of in like, yay, let's party. Let's eat snacks. Let's drink Coke. Let's have a good time because I get to like see my dad and I miss my cat and dog a lot. And also my mom and my brother, but less my brother because he's really annoying. Just kidding. I love you, Cooper. But like,
I know we need to wrap this up a little bit and finish up, but just a quick behind the scenes question, Lily. Did they get coffee? Did they get caffeine?
No, they didn't get coffee.
Okay. I would have, because I would have been like, what the heck? Like, we never got caffeine or coffee when we.
I asked multiple times because I was having withdrawals. But
no, our first weekend, Brandon really wanted to get us Cokes and have a pizza party, and JD was totally against it. He said, Brandon, we need to Brandon. Stay strong.
JD, next time, get the kids the pizza.
No, JD's all about that clean eating.
That was the healthiest like I've ever eaten, by the way. The catering was insane.
I felt that way in endurance, too. I dropped pounds in those 3 weeks, and I'm like, I gotta change my life after this.
I didn't. Like, I went straight back to eating, like, because especially because I grew up with really bad allergies, and I was sort of, like, right then is when I first started fully growing out of them and being able to eat whatever I wanted. I didn't go back to health. But, like, I lost so much weight. Oh, wow. I felt so healthy. It was so weird.
And the fresh air, too.
Yeah.
So and looking stale. Looking back on the whole entire experience, like, how do you guys look back on the experience and what have you learned overall? How have you changed in the last year?
I think I have a new point of view on how I view being in high stress situations. But other than that, I'm not so sure I changed that much at all.
Well, what is your new point of view of being in high stress situations then?
Well, I understand that everybody takes stress differently, right? You can't expect everyone to look at something the same way you look at something. And I learned that especially through the Jack thing, because a lot of people were totally against it. Like, no, Jack is so cool. He's so smart. He's so innocent. He would never do anything like that. So it's just, no one's going to look at it eye to eye with you. I feel like at this point, it's impossible for 100% of everybody to look at it eye to eye with you. So you have to be slow, and you have to work it out and come to an agreement or come to something, because throwing your opinions at them and expecting everyone to follow is not, it's not always going to work or ever going to work, to be honest. But other than that, I'm not sure I changed so much at all. I think most of the things I did out there, I would do again if I had the chance again. So don't send me back for Karma 2.
Laughing and yawning in the face of Presley crying. I have to ask about that.
Oh my God. What?
Would you do that again?
I most definitely would do that again. And let me tell you why I would do that again. Okay. And that's just because in that situation, and they didn't really show this a lot, obviously, because it's a kid show, but she was really cursing me out. She was laying on the profanity.
I have the mouth of a sailor.
I mean, right. Yeah, she was really coming at me. So I had to do whatever I had to do to you know, shut her up. And it did work. Once I yawned in her face, that she got quiet and she just started crying.
Like, yeah, hence why not all of the argument made it into the show, because
right.
I was going off. I swear a lot. Obviously none of that made it into the show, but yeah, I was a lot meaner than the show portrayed me as. I was like really rude in a lot of places.
Which was a recurring offense, because especially during the challenge where I was holding your arms over the thing. I don't know. I really don't know the name of these challenges, but she was cursing me out. She was like, if you drop me, I'm going to be so mad. It was F-bomb. every bomb in the world. She was really cursing me out.
Yeah, no, I was very afraid, because I was like, I knew that like if we lost that challenge, like we were going to be going home. And so I was like, don't touch me. Hold on. Good. Yeah. No, I was like super stressful to be around, and also super stressed because I was just like, when I hit a certain point, that's just like bleh, like word vomit. And most of those words are swear words and I don't make any sense at all. And I learned how to be better about that too, because I was like, that was like kind of like not that, that was also part of what got me sent home, because we couldn't communicate, because, I like, there was a miscommunication and like an unwillingness to communicate sort of from both ends at that point.
Yeah.
Because Adrian didn't want to deal with me being super dramatic, and I didn't want to have him just be blunt with me. And we kind of needed to like agree that like, hey, this is how we're gonna communicate now, and we're gonna do this, and it's gonna be fine. And like that moment didn't come until much later in our partnership, but yeah. And like as for what I learned is like that was genuinely, it was a lot of like communicating with other people who weren't like me, because I have a tendency to stick with like a couple people who are really close to me, and just talk to those people because I know those people understand me. I have a lot of trouble sort of pushing myself out of my comfort zone. I like sort of learned the hard way how to both stick up for myself a lot more than I did, and to be level and like more on being able to take somebody communicating with me in a way that I wasn't super familiar with and I wasn't super comfortable with. I just sort of like became stronger in myself. A lot of the changes that I went through on the show came through when I got home, because at that point I was like, you know what? I'm going to do all this stuff that I've been wanting to do. I'm going to just kind of go out and live my life, and that's it. Like that's what's happening.
I feel like we could talk to you for hours, and you're absolutely fine. But this has been such a pleasure getting to talk with you both. Really added some much needed context to everything that was happening. So thank you both so much for that. And What a team you were.
Yeah, congratulations, you guys. Like it was such a pleasure watching you both. Like, go Orange Team. Gotta love Orange Team.
Yeah. And I will say also, Adrian, you said you watched Survivor. Have you seen Stephen Fishback on Token Chains or Second Chance season? Oh well,
I watched 28 and 29 only, to be honest.
Okay. Well, he's a good friend of mine, and he texted he wished he could have seen more from Orange Team.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to see awesome. You guys continue to work it out, because you guys working it out. But
yeah,
would have been curious to see what happened later.
And just like long director's commentary kind of vibe.
Oh, I love director's commentary.
That would be really fun. No, yeah. I was just sort of saying it jokingly, but like an extended director's commentary version to show more of the teams, because I was super disappointed. Not necessarily like super disappointed, but the fan reaction has been kind of disappointing, because there's a lot of fans going after people who were just like really nice the whole time, because they only saw like bits and pieces of game and not a lot of their normal personalities. I know a lot of people are going after Huck, which makes me mad because we were friends.
Don't come for these teams, okay? Don't come for them at all.
They
love each other.
We made stupid decisions. It happens.
Yes, they all played Karma. I'm so happy that we got to see you on Karma, and I feel like you both definitely made a huge impact on the show. And I mean, the fact that Michelle pointed your team out to us before we even started watching the game, I mean, I think that was really cool. So I'm here for Orange Team.
Thank you guys so much for coming on, for sharing your insight, and keep in touch with all of us and good luck with all your stuff. Adrian, make sure you let us know when your music's dropping.
Yeah.
Yes, do it.
Yeah, thank you.
And
guys,
Presley,
so
I can't. Of course. Yeah, I can't wait to let's check out your podcast with your dad, Presley.
Yes, he's you guys would like him. He's a okay. I mean, like everything about my personality can be explained by the fact that I have a dad who is a Scorpio and a philosophy major.
Yeah. That explains everything. Well, happy Pride, you guys.
Yes, happy Pride.
Yeah, happy Pride.
We'll be looking for those beats, Adrian. All right.
Yes, I'm waiting for this music. Yes.
Stay safe and healthy, you guys. And quick, speedy recovery for you, Adrian, with your hand and your finger or your wrist.
Oh, yes, man. Yes, yes man.
Sure. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, both of you. And there you have it. That was the Orange Team. And so thank you all for being here with me for this. This was, I really appreciated having all of these perspectives for this episode, especially. So as always, where can people find you, Monroe?
You know, you can find me on LinkedIn at Monroe Jordan Garrell. Drop me a connect. That's my only social media. Call me old school.
Lily, for you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Tiger Lily Brown with two L's, and also Twitter at Lily27Sings, and YouTube at youtube.com/Lily27. Cool. Oh yeah, and also, the Karma Instagram is Karma on HBO Max.
Oh yeah, check that out.
Monroe, I think you have like the OG, but you have like the classy social media.
Thank you.
You guys can follow me on all the non-classy platforms at Keaton Markey, where I mainly post about my dog and just, you know, trying to survive this pandemic.
Yep.
Yes. So thank you for joining us for episode 3. We will be coming back to you later this week with episode 4. So looking forward to that. And until then, stay safe. And what goes around comes around. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.